morning. Philippians chapter 2. There we go. Continuing our study through this wonderful little book of the Bible. I hope it's been a help to you. It's been a help to me. But we've come to chapter number 2. We're going to read verse 12 here in just a moment. If you find your place in Philippians 2, verse 12, say amen. That's about three quarters. We'll go with it. All right. Philippians chapter 2. Starting verse number 12, the Bible says this. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Look at verse 15 again. That ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Let's pray. Our Father, once again we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We come asking you to open our hearts and minds to your precious word and teach us from it how we should live as sons of God, as children of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, in a crooked and perverse world. Help us, teach us, I pray, how we should live. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, let me ask you a question this morning. Anyone like me, and you need a reminder, not just time to time, but pretty much every single day. You need to be reminded of something. Anybody like that? Oh, yeah, there's about 10 or 12 of us in here just like me. That's a scary thought. But anyway, we need to be reminded every now and then, don't we? We do. Whether it's you need to be reminded of what time you need to get up for work. You set your alarm clock. You know what that is? That's a reminder. Maybe you're here and you need to be reminded of, well, you need to take which certain types of medication at what time. You need to be reminded of that. Nothing wrong with that. But you need to be reminded. Others of us, we need to be reminded of certain important meetings we have from throughout the week or from day to day. Or you need to write yourself a list, a to-do list, if you will, to get things done, accomplished throughout the day. Or ladies and some men, hey, look, you go grocery shopping, you need a list. You know why? Because you don't want to forget something. You need a reminder of what to bring home from the grocery store. And just a tip, don't go to the grocery store hungry. You will come home with 10 boxes of Oreos. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm just saying you will. Oreos, it's that manna from heaven, but anyway, right alongside Krispy Kreme donut. But you need a to-do list, right? We need a list because they're simply reminders. If you go over to my office, you'll see on my desk, I have many sticky notes. What are those? Well, they're just reminders for me because I have a tendency to forget. Anyone else have a tendency to forget? Okay, me too, great. Again, several folks like me, this is getting scarier and scarier. But we have a tendency to forget. Now, we don't do it on purpose. It's not intentional, but it does happen from time to time. And I used to blame my forgetfulness all the time on my 3 concussions and the calcium deposits that I have right here. Now, it doesn't work anymore with my wife. After 12 years, she's heard enough of that trash, all right? So it doesn't work with her anymore. But we have a tendency to forget. It's not on purpose. But if you're like me, you need a good, healthy reminder from time to time. And as I read these verses, as I read this portion of Scripture here in Philippians chapter 2, it seems as if Paul is trying to give a healthy reminder to these people. Not a reminder of, hey, you got an appointment. Not a reminder of, hey, take your medication. But rather, it's a reminder of this. Verse 15, look at it again there towards the middle of it. That you live in a crooked and perverse nation. Now understand something, the historical context and circumstances that surround this little book of the Bible. And this church and these believers are going through. Remember, Paul's in prison for the name of Jesus Christ, for preaching the gospel. And persecution is on the rise by the mighty cruel hand of Nero. So they understood completely that they were in a crooked and perverse nation. So they knew that. But they need to be reminded of how to live in that type of environment. They need to be reminded of how to live in that kind of culture, in that kind of world, in that kind of nation. And it had been very hard, by the way, for these people in the first century to live in that kind of culture, in that kind of environment. It had been very difficult to live under the cruel, wicked hand of Nero. and the literal fires that's going on of persecution in their lives. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist for us to understand today that our world today, our nation today, isn't much different than that of the first century nations in the world. And if we're going to be biblically accurate with it, we'd have to agree that actually today is probably worse. Because the Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous, that's troublesome, fierce, dangerous, perilous times shall come. And as Paul is writing about those perilous times that are coming, he kind of describes how you'll know they'll be here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall wax, that word means grow, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So listen, the world doesn't get better and better with the times. No, if we're going to be biblically accurate, it gets worse and worse with the times. It becomes more crooked, as the Bible says in verse number 15, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. It gets worse. It gets more crooked. Now, what does this word crooked mean? This is where we get our word scoliosis from. Now, what is scoliosis? It is a medical term for an abnormal curvature of the spine. So some folks who do have scoliosis, when you see them walking, they'll kind of be bent to the side walking that way because they have an abnormal curvature of the spine. That's scoliosis. So that's where we get this word. So what does it mean, crooked? This word mean? It means curved. It means not straight. It means warped with this. An obvious indication something ain't right. With an obvious indication, something is wrong because it's easily seen. It's crooked. And everybody can see it. Look, it doesn't take long to look around the world and know this world's crooked, man. And everybody can see it. You ain't hiding nothing. Look, it's crooked. It's easily seen in politics, easily seen in D.C., easily seen in business dealings, easily seen when money's on the line. Crookedness can be every single where. It doesn't take long to see it. But not only is it crooked, it's perverse. This simply means this. It means to turn from the right path, to distort, to corrupt, to pervert. And it carries with it the meaning of this, to turn away, here it is, on purpose. To turn away on purpose. Here's a good illustration you can find in the Bible about this. Acts chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. But Elymas the sorcerer withstood them. Withstood who? That's Paul. Seeking to turn away, that's the same word for perverse in our text, all right? Seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Listen, understand the sorcerer. He knew what he was doing when he withstood Paul to the face. He knew what he was doing when he tried to turn the deputy from the faith. He was perverting, and he knew it, perverting the straight, right ways of God. Now understand, our world is absolutely full of perversion. And here's the purpose for it. To turn you away from God. Make no mistake about it. That is the purpose of perversion. That is the purpose of everything that's not right, that's distorted, that's corrupt. That is the purpose from it all. To turn you away from the truth, from the faith, from the Lord. To make you crooked too. That's the purpose of it all. Perversion. You see it everywhere. Hollywood, D.C., cities, homes, and yes, you can even see it in churches today. And yes, even in believers' lives today, you can see this. But the purpose behind it all is to turn you away from the faith. So it's no secret, we're living in times that are crooked, living in times that are perverse, just as the Philippians were. But the question needs to be asked, how can we live in those times? Because we're in those times. How do you live in them? How do you live through them? How do you get through them? What do you do during those times? I mean, should we be like an ostrich and just simply bury our heads in the sand? should we be like a chicken and run around in fear all the time? Should we be like a possum and just play dead, hoping it'll go away? You ever seen a possum play dead? That is one of the nastiest creatures on God's green earth. I'm telling you what. Freak you out. I thought one was dead one day. The dog brought it up on the porch. I got a shovel. Me and Dustin were there. Got a shovel. Scooped that thing up. And it just went like that. And I'm like, look, I need to change my clothes after that moment. But anyway, that thing's ugly. But is that what we're supposed to do? Just play possum, play dead until all passes over? Good night, no. But here's what we should do. I think as believers we should be bold as lions. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are what? Bold as a lion. Listen, we're in the midst of perverse and crooked ways, and we need to stand up and stand out and speak out for God. Here's what we should be doing. As we live in crooked and perverse times, number one, what should we be doing? Number one, we should be doing this. We'll see three principles from this portion of Scripture of how to live in crooked and perverse ways. Number one, here's how we should do it. By obeying God. By obeying God. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we should be obeying. Obeying the Lord, obeying His Word. It should be a no-brainer for the child of God. And yet, we struggle with it. We struggle with obeying what God has told us from His, clearly told us from His Word. And I'm absolutely convinced that many, maybe not all, I'm careful about throwing out blanket statements, okay? But I'm convinced that many of the self-inflicted struggles and consequences, troubles that come in our lives, they come because of a lack of disobedience in one area or another in our lives to God. Surely, they come that way many times. And to avoid those troubles, to avoid those wounds, all we really needed to do, as you look back to them, is just simply obey God. Because He knows what's best anyway. Obey Him. Listen, that's what God wants out of His own children, is to simply obey Him. This is what any parent wants out of their own kids, to just have them to obey them. Listen, Francis, let me ask you a question. What's some of the first words out of your mouth when you've told your kids not to do something? And then, they don't listen, of course, and they do that very thing you told them not to do. And then, they get hurt. And then, something breaks. And then, you fill in the blank, right? Whatever. But usually, what's out of my mouth, one of the first words is, "You knucklehead, why didn't you just listen?" Anybody else like that? Just me? Okay, no. Several of us. Why couldn't you just listen? If you just obeyed, you wouldn't have broke another picture frame. If you just obeyed, you wouldn't have got hurt and you wouldn't be bleeding. And none of you would be crying and we wouldn't have this conversation. Wouldn't have been this great if you just obeyed the first time, you know. That's what we want. That's what any parent wants. Listen, that's what God wants. Obedience out of His own children. And this is what we should be doing as we're living in a crooked and perverse nation, just obeying God. As the Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now Paul, he pointed out very quickly that these guys, these folks, these believers, these Philippians, they were quick to obey when he was there. Look at it again. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He says, look, you were quick to obey. You were. You were quick to obey this way in salvation. Do you remember when Paul, he came to Philippi there in Acts chapter number 16. And when he came, he saw some ladies who came down to the river as a time of prayer and to pray. And he met them. And it was there, no doubt he prayed with them, but also he did this. He began to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And after preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, of His death, burial, and resurrection, the women, no doubt, believed. Especially one, Lydia. The first convert there in Philippi, and really the first convert there in Europe. Lydia, she believed the gospel. She was quick to obey. You can go on and see later on as Paul was preaching the Word of God and he was put into prison because of that. You can see him as he is praying and singing praises unto God at midnight there with Silas. That God came down, did a mighty work. It shook the jail with an earthquake. And they're about to flee for their lives after the shackles fell off. But Paul, caring more about the soul of the jailer than it did his own freedom, he said, do thyself no harm. The jailer's about to kill himself. Do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And the jailer came in with a light, springing in, no doubt troubled and shaking, said this, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul looks at him and says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But you know what you don't find after that after that verse, after that promise, you don't find a Jezebel and say, let me think about it. Let me weigh my options out. Let me, I don't know, let me see what other things are out there for me. You don't see that. No, you see him immediately obeying. You see him immediately believing. He believed on Lord Jesus Christ. He obeyed the gospel and was quick to do so. Many times people, we want to make salvation so complicated. And it's not. It is not complicated at all. Really, when it comes down to it, what you're doing when it comes to salvation, you're just believing God. You're obeying Him. You're obeying the call to come to Him. As the Bible says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It is simply obeying the call to come to Him. It's obeying the call to believe on Him. John 6:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. Again, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. John 3:15-16, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent not His Son into the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, it's just the simple obey to believe on Him. Obedience. And obeying the call to call upon Him. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, it's just simple obedience to God. And what He's telling you to do, believe on me. Call on me. Come to me. Okay. Obey. They were quick to obey in salvation. Listen to these verses. For those who are not so quick to obey. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God be? Hey, the first thing these folks needed to do is obey the gospel. And here it is, as the Bible plainly lays it out in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 3 to 4. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, the Gospels. Christ died for you, was buried for you, and rose again for you, and you must believe on Him. Obey. Obey. They were quick to obey in salvation. They were quick to obey this way as well in sharing their salvation. Now, look at verse number 12, all right? Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, here it is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, some folks, when it says here, working out your own salvation, some people get the idea that you're working for your salvation. That is not biblically accurate. You cannot work for your salvation. This is a very much misconception. And besides, a work salvation does not line up with the rest of Scripture, and we must interpret Scripture with Scripture. If you do not interpret Scripture with Scripture, do you know what you get? You get false cults. All right, we'll leave it right there, okay? Just understand that. But it doesn't line up with the rest of Scripture, so that's not what Paul is saying here. He's not saying work so you can save yourself. No, he is saying this. Work out your salvation, meaning show it. Show your salvation. Share it with others. What God has done for you. Show outwardly what God has done inwardly in your life. Simply saying this, be a witness. This is what they did. They were quick to do this. They were beginning to do this. They were doing it with fear and trembling. I get it. Sometimes sharing your testimony, sharing how you came to Christ, sharing the gospel can be a little intimidating and can be a fearful thing. But do it anyway with fear and trembling. Do it. I remember after I first got saved, I was April 2000 here at First Baptist Church in Hendersonville. After I got saved, God worked in my heart that night. No one told me to do this, by the way, but God was working in my heart that night saying, look, you need to tell your friends. You need to tell your friends what you just did in that meeting. So I turned around to the guys that were with me, and I said, "Guys, I gave my heart to God tonight." And one of them spoke up, best friend Dennis. He said, "Man, you got saved tonight." I said, "Yeah, I did. I did." No one told me, though, to go and share that. No one told me to go do that, except for God. The Holy Spirit of God that was in me from that moment on told me to do that. Share it. Work out your own salvation. They were quick to share it. Listen, we need to be obedient. Obey God. Obey God today. If you don't know Him as your Savior, obey Him and come to know Him as your Savior. Call upon Him to save you. Believe on His name. Come to Christ today and share Him with others. All right. So what should we be doing? As we live in a crooked, perverse nation, well, obeying Him. Number two, shining for God. Obeying God, shining for God. Look at verse 14. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Shine for God. I'm reminded of a verse in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. When Jesus speaking here and teaching, He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." But here's what a nation, a world, a culture that is crooked and perverse wants to do. They want to dampen your light. They want to put out your light completely. The world wants to turn you, again, remember, crooked, perverse, turn you away from the straight and narrow onto a crooked way. They want to turn you away from the faith, turn you away from the truth, turn you away from the Word of God, turn you away from God Himself. That's the sole intention of perversion. Remember the illustration? Acts 13:8. Remember? But God is simply saying here from His Word to shine forth a bright light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Be bright. Shine brightly for Jesus. Look, I get it. The culture wants to turn us away, wants to dim that light. But only this is only going to happen. Listen, it's only going to happen if you allow it to. If you allow it to. The only way for your light to become dull and even dark is if you allow the world, the culture, the environment, the perversion around you to get into you, into your thinking, into your belief, into your ideas, and eventually manifest itself into actions. Understand something. We are to be in the world, but the world is not to be in us. Anybody like to go fishing? Yeah, I know y'all's Christians. I like it. I love fishing, especially bass fishing. It's a release for me, therapy. Man, alive, I love it. When you go to the lake, you put your boat in the lake, right? You don't put the lake in your boat. If you put the lake in your boat, you're going to have a bad day. Look, the boat's supposed to be on the water. The water's not supposed to be in the boat. Now, I know this from experience. Now, I was by myself. I was going bass fishing Lake Kiwi, and I put my boat in the water. Drove up to the parking area, parking my boat and trailer, and come walking back down to the dock. I'm like, that boat's sitting awful funny in the back end. It's sitting lower than normal. Keep walking up to it, and I'm like, that's not good. There's water in the back of my boat. I wonder, I left my plug out. A $2 part on your boat can cost you thousands of dollars. Do you know that? I do now. All right. So anyway, I frantically ran back up the hill. That's a funny sight in and of itself. Ran up the hill, got in my truck, and just backed that thing down like a madman. I got back crooked on the ramp. I didn't care. And I was praying as I jumped out of the truck, ran down the dock, jumped in the boat. I was praying, "God, please let this thing crank up on the first go." Understand, the boat's like 25 years old. It don't crank on the first shot. Okay. So anyone's like, "Oh, God, please." And it cranked on the first shot, and I'm like, "Oh, praise God." And I gunned that thing up on my trailer, and it went up on sideways. I didn't care. Tied it down, pulled it out. And for the next 30 minutes, I just sat there eating a banana, watching the water pour out of my boat. That was almost a really bad day. But thankfully, Lord, help me through that one. But I didn't think, you know, water don't belong in a boat. A boat belongs on the water. Oh, man, yeah. But not in it. Because as soon as the water's in the boat, it's no longer a boat. It's an ornament for fish to live in. It's a fish habitat. Hey, look. We're to be in the world. He said, in the midst of it. But the world ain't supposed to be in us. Because as soon as it is, your light will begin to diminish. Your light will begin to be dark. And that don't help anybody. That don't help anybody. Please, let your light so shine before men. Shine bright. In the midst of a perverse, crooked nation. They knew how bad it was with the perversion going on, all kind of polytheism, the worship of false gods, one of them being Aphrodite, good night. That was just all kind of the form of worship for this false god was so grotesque. I'm not even going to go into details about it. But it's just absolutely absurd. But that's exactly where they were in the middle of that. Some of the things people do today, you would actually make your stomach turn. But you're living in that kind of world today. But in the midst of that, you're to shine brightly for Jesus Christ. Listen, every single light, whether it's a small light or a big light, makes a difference in the dark. It does. If we were to cut out all these lights and to somehow make this church completely dark, which will freak you out, trust me, I know, it'll freak you out, the littlest light in the complete darkness will make all the difference in this entire room. So the only way, though, for that light to make a difference is if it's different from the dark. Does that make sense? It's got to be different. The only way for you and I to make a difference in our life and our living is if we are different. And it's okay to be different. The Bible calls us peculiar people. And some of y'all are more peculiar than others, but anyway. We're to be different. And when we are, you're letting your light shine. Because there's people looking for a difference in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation. So what should we do? How should we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation? Well, by obeying God, by shining for God, and lastly, number three, by looking for God. Looking for Him. Look again in our verse, or our text rather, verse 16. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul said that I may rejoice, here it is, in the day of Christ. This is the second time that Paul has referred to the day of Christ, these Philippian believers, in as many chapters. He said it first in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 10. And again, when the Bible repeats itself, it's not because it forgot what it said. No, it's doing it because for emphasis. So Paul is trying to emphasize something to these believers that here it is, that Jesus is coming. That Jesus is coming. There is a day of Christ. Paul is trying to emphasize this very thing to them. I believe the day of Christ is when Jesus returns to snatch away His church. I want you to understand something. This preacher believes in the rapture of the church. I believe that Jesus is going to come and snatch us out of here one day. In a twinkling of an eye, we shall be gone, folks. I believe it as the Bible teaches it and preaches it. Listen to these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Please listen. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But if Paul says this, again, in verse number 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Caught up. That's where we get our word rapture from. It's a Latin word or Latin phrase, rapture, okay? That's where we get the word from. Caught up together. Snatched out of this world. The day of Christ is coming. When Jesus will snatch us out, He will come for His own, come for the church, come for His bride. He will snatch us out. So I believe the day of Christ, when Christ comes for His own, and we'll be with Him forever, forevermore. And Paul is trying to get these believers to look ahead to this day. He's trying to get them to have their attention where it needs to be. Yes, the days they were facing, they were troublesome. Persecution was rampant. It was awful. Horrid to see your family and friends stripped from your hands and taken to the Colosseum to be slaughtered by lions. Taken to prison to eventually be just absolutely martyred for your faith. It had been horrific to see and be a part of. It was awful. There was sorrow during their day. Corruption during their day. Perversion during their day. Crookedness during their day. But thank God, He was trying to remind them, there's coming a better day. The day of Christ. This is not going to last forever. He's trying to say, look, here's how you can live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Listen, look for God. He's coming. He's coming one day for you. He's coming for you. This truth is what the believers need to keep in mind to make it through a crooked world, a perverse world. John wrote it this way. 1 John 3:2-3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Every man that hath his hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. They're going to see Him. Listen, there's nothing that needs to be done in order for Jesus to return. It's intimate. It can come at any time. And when He does come, He will make the crookedness straight. All right? He'll take care of the enemies of God. He'll take care of all those that make a mockery of the things of God. He will set things straight. There's coming a day when He shall return. My question to you this morning as we're closing is this. Are you ready for that day? It's a simple answer of yes or no. That's the only two answers there are. It's not I hope so. It's not a maybe so. Maybe one day I will be. No, it's yes or no. Because you don't know if there will be another day. It's yes or no. There's only two reasons why it would be a no. The first reason would be this. Because you're not saved. Because if you're not saved, you do not know Christ. You have not believed on Jesus Christ. When He comes, you will not go. The only other reason that you'd be a no, you're not ready for that, is because you are saved, but you're not living for Him. That's the only other option for a no. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So that tells me, John is telling me here, that there will be some believers who are ashamed. Not of God, not of Jesus, but of themselves. When they see the very One in whom they trust. But yet they're not living like it. Believers who are living for themselves, for their sin, for their shame. Living as Laodicean Christians, lukewarmness, you know. Living that way. But understand something. Jesus is coming. The day of Christ is coming. When? I don't know. And neither does anybody else. It could be at any time. But are you ready for that day? The greatest day in your life. When you see Jesus. Caught up together. In the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, when He comes, will you be ready? When He comes, what will we find you doing? Will you be ready? So we understand that this world in which we live, the world in which they were living, same as us, probably worse, is crooked and perverse. But how should we live in those days and through those days? Well, by obeying God. Just obey Him. Just do what God says from His Word, okay? You'll be better off, I promise. Just obey Him. What else should we be doing? Shine for Him. Oh, let your light shine. Others need to see it. Shine for Jesus. What else should we be doing? Looking for Him. He's coming. He's coming. So what will you be doing as we live in a crooked and perverse nation? Can I encourage you to do just this? To obey, to shine.